were more like animals. And because they were just like animals, it didn't really matter whether they lived or died. In fact, life would be a whole lot better if they were all dead. That's how a Holocaust happens.
So I was thinking about this series. There's a lot I want to talk about. And just reflecting, I kind of decided not many people use the word hate. Really. Maybe not many people that I've ever met. People don't usually say, I hate another person. I don't know if it's just a Southern taboo or if it's just our own kind of sense of that's just not polite. Maybe it's because we know that hatred's wrong and the only people I ever really talk to are Christians. If that's the case, it's rare that I ever hear someone say, I hate, and then they say the name of another person. Do you hear people? Do you hear people say with sincerity the word hate when they talk about others? What do you hate? Really? Do you hate when mom cuts the light on to wake you up in the morning because you won't get out of the bed? Do you hate your dad keeps the heat really low in the house to save energy and you get cold all the time? Do you hate cold pizza? Do you hate when your favorite team loses? What do you hate? It's really funny the significance now you see people even put on their cars haters, by haters. The idea of a hater drinking Haterade. Haters gonna hate. this word hate. Hard to wrap our minds around. Most people I encounter, they'll say hate is a strong word, but I really don't like. Right? They won't use the word hate, but they'll say, but I really don't like it when JC, I really don't like the way Keegan, I don't hate Keegan or anything. But there's always a but that follows, right? Because you don't want to use the word hate because hate's too strong a word, but there's a really negative emotion, and so you say, I don't hate Dalton, but I really don't like XYZ about Dalton. What is it about people we don't like? How is that different than hate? Have you thought about it? I have this theory. I think it's possible for us to recognize that hate is a strong word and refuse to use that word. We don't let Nate use that word. We don't let him use the word hate. You need to find, you don't like it. It's not your preference. Whatever. We don't use the word hate. Not in our house. But it's still possible to hold that position and still carry hate around in our hearts. And I think that's what we're seeing in society today. People condemn guys like Richard Spencer and the Charlottesville rally. Do you remember the white supremacist Charlottesville rally? Do you remember when all of these people came together to advocate the idea that white people are the supreme beings above every other ethnicity and people group? Do you remember that? Do you remember the riots that have happened? Do you remember what happened in Charlotte just a couple of years ago? When people from our own community were sent to Charlotte to try to quell the unrest from the recent shooting. I think it's possible for us to say, well, I don't hate anybody. I don't hate nobody. I think it's possible for us to say that and still carry hate around in our hearts. We can point it out in other people. Why you got to hate on me all the time? We can point it out. But can we observe it in our own lives? And that's this question that I want us to talk about. Hatred, is hatred always necessarily active hostility and aggression towards other people? Or can it be more subtle? I want to read some scripture tonight. I want to read a good bit of scripture, actually. And I think when it comes to the trending now topic of racism, the scriptures teach us how to overcome this issue if we just listen. Let's check out Genesis 1 to start from the beginning. Genesis 1:26, the scriptures say, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Understand, from the very beginning, God created man in His image. Now we know from years of study, we know from hearing it all the time, that God isn't corporeal. That He doesn't have a body like we would imagine. John 4:24, "God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." And yet Scripture says that God created man and woman in His image. What does that mean? We've talked about this before, that God created a creation full of mirrors. That when all of creation looks at humanity, male and female, they are reflecting His image. It's not an exact copy. It's an image. It's not the real thing, it's just an image. But it is a reflection of God. All creation, male and female. Look at the next passage. "Now she," the man, "called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living." Think about it for just a minute. That all of us can trace our heritage to two people. The same two people. Let's keep reading. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." All creation, all humanity, created by God for the sole purpose of reflecting His image. Acts chapter 17. "The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as if He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And He made from one man," He made from one man, "every nation of mankind, to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us." Did you hear what He said? That God created from one man every nation that's on the earth. Does that mess with your mind even a little bit? There's a truth I want you to hear. The image of God present in every one of us makes us equal. That's radical, isn't it? You know the preamble to the Constitution, right? "We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, da 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 da, establish all this." And Do you know the rest of it? Barney Fife didn't. Neither do I. I know that He created everyone the same. And even our Constitution recognizes that there is no difference. There is no difference between the people that God created. The same image is in all of us. It makes us equal before Him. God created all of mankind in His image to reflect Him to all creation. So what does that mean? One, all of humanity shares a common image. God crafted us to look like Him. What does that mean? Is God as good looking as me? Maybe. It's not it at all. It's that we reflect God's character. We reflect His nature. We speak like God speaks. We create the way that God creates. We love, we give, we emote. All of those are reflections of the God who created us. Every single one of us, we all bear each and every one of those characteristics in and of ourselves. And by virtue of His image, we are fundamentally different than the rest of all creation. Y'all aren't feeling me. We are fundamentally different than the turtles. Okay? This is critical because we're so concerned about saving the turtles, but we're hating the people who sit beside us. We're so concerned about the environment and climate change. Dear Lord in heaven, if I hear climate change one more time at 5 degrees, I'm going to melt somebody. We're so concerned about the rest of creation, but we're carrying around hatred and prejudice and racism in our hearts and not even acknowledging the image of God in the person that's sitting beside us. Do you understand how ridiculously out of order those priorities are? That we're more concerned about whether or not some spotted owl somewhere has his habitat ruined. But it's okay for me to go protest and run people over with my car because they don't look like me. But everything's so disjointed and out of order. The image of God in us makes us fundamentally different than all of other creation. Nothing else He made was made with His hands. Did you ever notice that? Everything else was made with His Word. Let there be. Let there be. And there was. And there was. Then He said, let us make man in our image. And Genesis 2 tells us that He formed man from the dust of the earth and He breathed into his nostrils, his mouth to mouth, resuscitation, breathed into his lungs the breath of life. The only creature that bears His image. And each and every one of us have it. And we are fundamentally different than the spotted owl and the eastern box turtle. I love the eastern box turtle. I am a fan of the spotted owl and the polar bear. I love the polar bear. But the polar bear doesn't reflect God's image. And that makes the polar bear less than. Oh, I said it. That makes the polar bear less than. All humanity shares a common image. All humanity shares a common ancestor. Do you ever think about, you got Adam and Eve. You remember the timeline of Genesis? Do you remember the timeline? Anybody? Sunday school coming back to mind? God created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had children. Cain, Abel, and Seth. Yes, 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 yes. And they began to be fruitful and multiply and have children and they began to populate the earth. And in Genesis chapter 6, we discover that every thought in their minds and in their hearts was towards wickedness. Every thought. And God said, I'm not going to put up with this forever. And He found a man named Noah. And He said, I found righteous Noah. I will preserve Noah and his family. God sends a flood. Remember the story? God sends a flood, wipes out all humanity, wipes out all the animals, wipes out all vegetation. The whole earth flooded. Noah gets off the ark with his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And those eight people, God commanded to repopulate the earth. That's how it started. We can all trace our ancestry back to Noah. Ancestry.com. 23andMe. I got Noah in me. Y'all see those commercials for the 23andMe lately? What is that about? People want to know their chromosomal history? You can trace it to Noah. You ain't got to pay $100. I will tell you, you are akin to Noah. You are akin to Adam and Eve, and genetically it has been proven that 90-odd% of all of our DNA is similar all the way back. But it doesn't stop there. You got Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, all the nations of the earth. You remember the rest of the story? Genesis 9, Genesis 11. They decide to build a city. And they said, let's all get together. Let's get together and let's build a city so that we don't get far away from each other, and we'll always kind of be in this community. We'll be together. And let's build a tower and let's storm heaven. And the scriptures say that God saw them and He said, if they continue the way that they're going, there's nothing that will stop them. So let's come down and let's see what they're doing. God comes down and He confuses their language. And He scatters people to the ends of the earth. And all of a sudden, you've got thousands, literally thousands of people groups and thousands of language groups that populate all the earth, and they can all be traced back to Noah, to Eve. So we share a common image. We share a common image. We share a common ancestor. We are all related. And then the third point, all of humanity shares a common purpose. Look back at Genesis 1 and 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Do you understand? If you have a biblical worldview, do you remember the lenses that we spoke about, the perspective? If you're looking at the world through a biblical perspective, if you're watching the scripture and you're able to interpret what you see through those lenses, and you understand that God created us for two things, to fill the earth, to procreate. Yeah, that's in the Bible. That was God's design. To fill the earth. And to have dominion over it. Do you understand? Can I just propagate some truth for a minute? See, God created humanity to steward the planet. I'm not talking about tree-hugging granolas over here. I'm talking about learning that God has given us all of this, and He said, I want you to be in charge of it. That is yet another way that you reflect me, is that you have dominion over creation. That's another way that you reflect me. Is that when the rhinoceroses look up at you, they see a reflection of me. You are dominion. You are leading. You're ruling over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. That's your responsibility. And that's why it drives me crazy when I hear these people talk about how Mother Earth, we're killing Mother Earth. We ought to be stewards, yes. We ought to be responsible with what God has created us. He told us, I want you to be in charge of it. But we have to remember that that earth does not reflect His image. And it's high time we started focusing on the image bearers and not the creation that He made. We get this right, I think we'll get the rest of it right. All humanity shares a common image. We share a common ancestor. Humanity is the only creature to be created in God's image. And it's interesting, the image of God, and we'll talk about this in a couple of messages down the way, but He didn't create His image to rest on the male species, the male gender. He didn't create it for the female gender. He said male and female, He created them. That the image of God is best reflected in two genders. How does that come to bear on what else you're hearing? That the image of God is meant to bear across both genders. And if you're looking at the world through biblical lenses, then you begin to say, okay, wait a minute, if that's the case, if God's image is supposed to be born across both genders, that means both genders are significant. Ladies and gentlemen, the image of God in us is critical to the stuff that's trending right now. You want to talk about transgenderism? You want to talk about women and equal pay for equal work? You want to talk about gender equality? You want to talk about racism? Let's talk about the image of God first. And somehow when you get the image of God in your head, that's who the person sitting next to you reflects, then that changes the way you ought to look at them. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe you guys have this wrapped up. But I'm looking at a world that doesn't. Racism is real. Racism is at its core hatred of other people. There's a passage of Scripture, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 10, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do you understand? Pause for just a second. Do you understand that Cain killed Abel because Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's wasn't? And he was jealous. And he was angry. Don't be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is the logic. Can I share with you the logic that's in my head? Is that by this definition, love is active. Is that I can say I love JC all I want, but when the rubber meets the road, when JC's in a tough place, love is acting in his best interest whether he wants me to or not. Love is active. Love is intentional. Love does. What is hate then? Hate doesn't. That means that unless I am actively loving, unless I am actively giving and serving and being with and loving with someone, then I am passively hating them. Do you feel the weight of that? If I'm not actively loving them, then the opposite, that I'm hating them by not loving them. The Greek word here for hate is mison. Miseo is a lexical form. You know what it means? It doesn't mean walk up to Allie and stab her because I hate her because she got her braces off and has a prettier smile than me. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that when Allie walks by in the hall, I am indifferent to her. It's the moment that I can walk by and look her in the eyes and keep on walking and not speak and not actively love her. To see her and to close my heart against her and to be indifferent to her circumstances. Hatred is not about walking up and stabbing and wishing someone were dead. Hating is about being indifferent and not recognizing someone in need and closing your heart to when they have needs. That's a radical definition, isn't it? It's really easy to say, well, I don't hate anybody. It's also really easy to walk right by that person that you don't like and ignore them or treat them as less than. And I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask myself. Are there people in my life that I am indifferent towards? That I'm not actively loving? That I'm not actively giving myself to? Because that's the example. That's the example that Christ gave. It wasn't that he said, hey, CJ, I know you haven't been born for 3,000 years. I'm going to just go ahead and throw that out there. I love you. Have a nice life. Hope you don't die. Love says, CJ, I love you so much that I'm going to give my life that you don't have to face eternity in punishment. I'm going to give before you're ever born. I'm going to give my life for you. I'm not going to be indifferent to your circumstances. I'm going to love you even before you're born. And that's the example of love that we have. So you want to talk about prejudice? You want to talk about racism? You want to talk about hate? You can't do it without talking about what love is. Love is looking at Noah and doing what's best for him, whether he likes it or not. Hatred is, sure, have it your way. I don't care. Is there hate in our hearts? Because you can't have hate and righteousness at the same time. You want to defeat racism? You want to see that ended? Figure out what it means to recognize the image of God in Abby. Recognize the image of God and love them the way that He loves us. Would you bow your head? Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that Your love isn't based on what we look like. It isn't based on our skin color or how wide our noses are or how blonde or blue-eyed or how tall or how short we are, but Your love is based on Your image in us and Your sacrifice for us. And Father, tonight I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that we would learn to discover what it is to love people the way that You love people. That we would see the image of God in the people who are around us and treat them with the dignity and the respect and the love that you have for us. This is a complicated system we're in. But the answers are clear in your word. We are to love one another with actions, not in word or in tongue, but in deed. Let our lives be characterized by that love, we pray. We thank you for it. Lead us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.